and she was so kind of serious, but she could laugh and and enjoy the moment and everything. And I don't know about y'all, but I loved to hear Tab laugh. Because if Tab was laughing, that means everybody's having a good time. We having a good old time.
You have met the stamp of approval. If it's going on, if Tab's having fun and you're not having fun, you might as well just leave. There's no more there's no more fun to be had. Like, no, like if Tab having fun and you ain't having fun, dog, why are you here? Leave. What up, what up, what up, what up? It's your boy Fur from Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast. Join my co-host Rozzy and Buff. Fellas, tell them what's on your minds.
So I ain't going to Mexico no more. Most folks don't even have, you know, passports, but they talking about they ain't going to Mexico ever again. But I don't know if you guys have heard, you know, couple... I think it was a foursome that were heading down to Mexico, get them a BBL, tummy tuck, something, whatever they were talking about doing. But they were heading down there for that, got caught up in some, like, I don't know, like movie type stuff where the cartel was fighting another part of the cartel and they pulled up because they were lost looking for the, I mean, this is going to be a movie. It's going to hit Tubi at some point. But so they pulled up and they got in the middle of this gunfight. And they jump out like, look, we just looking for the doctor so I can get this BBL. But then two of them got shot and like one of them got away. One of them didn't get shot at all. Two of them ended up getting like knocked over the head and put in a truck and the cartel drove off. And so they found them. Unfortunately, they were dead. But the funny part about it is the cartel was like, yo, we ain't mean to, our bad. They actually tied the cartel members that did it up, put them in a van and was like, hey, Mexican government, here's the people who did it. We ain't had nothing to do with that. Like, those were rogue cartel members. Like, bruh, this is like the weirdest, wildest thing I've heard in a long, long time. But it was crazy. I was reading about it. I'm still reading about it. They're still trying to figure out what's going on. But I do want to say, you know, thoughts, prayers, my heart goes out to those folks that did make it. They passed, but I mean, it was a wild ride reading about it. So I just wanted to kind of throw that out there. Have you guys heard about this at all?
Yeah, but not the way you described it. I mean, you made it so much better than just reading it. It made me think when you were saying it, how you will watch news, the news, and you got that, especially in the black neighborhood, you got that one person to get interviewed. See what that happened was. So, you know, Rallo, man, you won't believe what happened. You know, like that's the vibe I was getting from you. It's crazy out there, man. People are risking their lives to go to these other countries to do this stuff. And we all have our personal opinions about, you know, those type surgeries and stuff. We're not going to get into that, but I just urge people to be careful. And when you do anything like that, you get what you pay for. So be careful. Like, if you're going to do it the right way. Don't cut any costs. It's just not the cartels. We hear horror stories of people who are, you know, infections and all other kind of stuff because it's not done properly and they don't have to meet the same medical criteria and standards that they do here in the U.S. So, ladies, be careful.
I was going to say, for all the people that are saying, ooh, I'm not going to Mexico now. I mean, that what Rozzy was playing is bad, but I don't want to like poo-poo on Mexico, but it's always had a level of danger. Like, always. Like,
yeah, we went especially there if you go to like one of the worst areas, like if you're not going to a resort or something like that, there's always that, right?
Even on our way to the resort, we stayed in Riviera Maya, which is pretty much Cancun. They must have told us at least 4 or 5 times, hey, don't go wandering off. You're in Mexico. Like, they said that word for it, like, don't forget, even though you're on a resort, it's in Mexico. So when you leave, it need to be a resort sanctioned function or don't go. So that warning was given to us over and over. So I don't think there's ever not been a level of danger
Oh yeah, it's especially even by the border. I mean, I'm here in Texas, and I used to travel down to Brownsville in that area all the time, and I wouldn't stay the night that close to the border. I would make sure I got a little further north, and I traveled with protection all the time just in case. You have to catch me. You have to prove that you're better than me, because it's just that crazy, and it's not the first. It won't be the last. Those things are happening. But it's dangerous. I mean, and for what, you know? So, hearts and prayers to the families. People, be safe when you anywhere you travel. You know, be safe. Spring break's coming up. All that. People, be safe. Don't leave the resort. Don't save $50 to try to go get something from the local market or whatever the case may be. Pay that money. Be safe.
Pretty much. Yep.
What else you got for us, Riser?
I did want to bring up Marlon Wayans has a comedy special. It's called God Loves Me on HBO Max. And it is hilarious. Marlon's always been kind of funny anyway, but this is his first foray back into stand-up. You know, especially as a special and things like that. And he talks about a little bit of that, about that in there and why he did it. And so he frames it around the Chris Rock, Will Smith slap. And, you know, he knows every party in there. I don't know if you guys know, him and Jada were like really, really close, like lived down the street from each other while they were kind of young, that type of thing. And so he talks through kind of his life in that. And it's really, really funny. So if you're kind of looking for something to just kind of chill out with for an hour, think it's like a 50-minute special, check it out, man. It's a good one.
I hope so. I've heard some good things about it. I've never been a Marlon Wayans. I didn't think it was funny.
I didn't think it was funny at all.
You didn't?
No, I didn't laugh once. He told some good stories. I thought what he told was interesting, but none of it was like funny. It just was like, oh, I didn't know that. That was interesting.
Wow.
But I have heard good stuff about it, so.
Yeah, but you like Chris Rock? Like, I liked his stand-up better than I like Chris Rock.
No.
No, you didn't like Chris. You didn't like Chris Rock, or you didn't think Marlon's stand-up was
good? No, I liked Chris Rock's
stand-up. And I was asking him, he said no. He just said no, so I was trying to figure out what he was saying no to.
Oh, no, I like Chris Rock's. It wasn't his funniest. I think I said last week, he'll never top Bigger and Blacker or Bring the Pain. He'll never top that. But like Rosie said, the Marlon Wayans thing is completely about Jada, Will, and Chris Rock. And what he does is he tells a story. The name of it is God Loves Me. So he tells the story. He starts off talking about Chris, and then he brings it home to why God loves him. Then he talks about Jada. He brings it home to why God loves him. And then Will. So it's like interesting, but none of it was like funny to me. So.
All right, I'll be the deciding factor.
Yeah, there you go. I did find it interesting though that people who were criticizing Chris Rock, why is he talking about this a year later? Why is he talking about this a year later? He needs to get over it. Like Lil Rel has talked about the slap. Marlon Wayans dedicated his whole special to it, so everybody else could talk about it, but the guy who got slapped,
right?
Well, we don't know the time period or the statute of limitation of getting slapped on stage at the Oscars. So I don't know how that usually works. Is there like a 6-month waiting period before you can tell jokes, and you got like in 30 to 90 days after that you can make a move? Outside of that, I mean, that is going to be part of his legacy.
Yeah, definitely.
Chris Rock, are you talking about the dude that got slapped on stage? Yeah, that's him. Yeah.
I still like both brothers, by the way. I'm waiting for Bad Boys 4. I like Chris Rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you see Emancipation?
I did.
Is it good?
Well, I feel like Will lied, because he preached that it was not another slave movie. It's not a slave movie. It's a slave movie.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. For whatever reason, I think that's not the first Will I wanted to see after the slap. Because then he just looks so beaten and downtrodden. Like, even just from the previews, I'm like, man, he looks just like, I feel like he feels right now. And I don't want to see that version of him. I want to see him in a more of a, you know, upbeat.
You want to see Mike Lowry?
Yeah, I want to see Mike Lowry. I want to see Independence Day 17, you know, something like that. But the slave will. Nah, I'm good on that. But Buff, you got anything?
First off, hell of a recap on what happened in Mexico, Razzy.
Yeah.
You got a future in that, brother.
Due to traffic and the weather.
I'm going to keep it a little bit. Well, I guess that's not politics. That's like world events. But I just want to say briefly, I don't want to get into details, but I know Ron DeSantis, we talk about him a lot. No, the governor of Florida is kind of pounding his chest for his victory over Disney. And it's selling well to conservatives. It's selling well to the media by the masses. Here's the thing. He didn't really do anything. Disney still keeps their tax status. Okay. And had he really dug in like he claimed he was, it would have left taxpayers on the hook for like $100 million a year or something like that. So he's flexing, but it's kind of like not much.
It's kind of like banning CRD. Type thing. It's political gamesmanship, but nothing really. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Like Disney's still doing it. Like he has control over them, but you know, whatever. So I just wanted to point that out to people because I saw him pounding his chest a little bit and people were co-signing it. So put that out there. And also, you know, as we record on this March night, rest in peace to Biggie Smalls, who some say is the GOAT. I do not, but I do think he made great music. I just don't think he had enough time to establish himself as a GOAT, so there's no shade on him. But nevertheless, a young man's life was taken sooner than it should have been, so rest in peace to him. I made sure I listened to a few songs today. I had a good time listening to that. And last but not least, I don't know how much I want to talk about this, but I do have a former coworker that went on a news program of a network that I don't care for. But he went on Tucker Carlson, and you guys can check that out and make your own, you know, whatever from that. I do think he made some good points. I hate the platform he chose, but in his defense, he did say he reached out to nearly every news outlet there was. Nobody wanted to hear from him, so he chose them. I think is, man, go to YouTube, something like that. But he spoke on it. Check it out if you like. Like I said, he made some good points. Like maybe he should have spoken to the January 6th committee. I don't know. I wasn't there, but so check that out. Just wanted to put that out there since people, you know I experienced that day and that was January 6th related.
Mm-hmm. Well, according to Tucker, it wasn't that bad. You know, it was...
Our chief sent out a heavy-handed refutal of that, man. A rebuttal, rather.
It was just...
reject a stiff arm, all that good stuff. He was like, man, nah, that's some BS.
Yeah, it was just... He downplayed the hell out of it to the point where Fox News is almost kind of like, yeah, we can't really agree to that.
But is anyone surprised? Like, when you give Tucker that, what did you... That's like... giving a 2-year-old something fragile and say, hey, don't drop it. Don't break it.
Mm-hmm.
And then 2 minutes later, they drop it, break it. Like, who are you mad at?
So, yeah, it's been a crazy week. Even in sports again, still dealing with the Ja Morant backlash, trying to figure out how that's going to go. Sean Kemp is caught up in the news. I don't know what's going to happen with that.
He just got released. As of right now, they don't plan on charging him with anything.
Yeah, but how are you at 53, 54 getting caught up in some kind of drive-by accusations and stuff like that? I don't know how. I guess we'll see more details to come. Hopefully soon, you know, or maybe not. Maybe it'll just die down and we'll keep the party going. And Michael Irvin as well, you know, his, I don't even know how to describe that, you know. I don't know what's going to happen.
It's looking good for him right now.
Yeah, but I mean, did you see the video? He was looked so like.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, I'm definitely going to wait till it's completely over because I don't want to prematurely speak too much on it. But if things play out how they seem to be playing out, it's a shame that someone would do that. And that's what we're talking about on the rare cases when women lie. Not saying that this is an incident because we don't know for sure, but just saying when some men say, hey, sometimes women lie, even though it's rare, look how devastating it is. Mm-hmm. Like, he was taking out Super Bowl coverage from an accusation. You know what I mean? So,
and then there's always going to be doubters. There's always going to be the conspiracy theorists. Well, he makes him guilty.
He paid those two guys. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just your reputation, especially as a man and a black man in this world. That's something that you, one of the only things you kind of have, like, is your word. And when people question your integrity and your the type person you are, it's hard to bounce back from that. Hence why sometimes we have to be our own biggest cheerleaders, because there is a lot of noise out there and we have to shine the light and applaud each other when we can. Have you guys ever watched an episode of Cancel Court on YouTube?
Yes. Yeah, it's hilarious.
Buff, you got to get on Cancel Court. It's on YouTube. I forgot the name of the production company, but they basically argue. They bring comedians in to kind of argue cancel culture in only a way comedians can. And it's very interesting because comedians are usually the ones who tell the truth. There's kind of no gray area. They kind of have the free will to have those conversations up until recently. You know, that's kind of what the whole Dave Chappelle debacle was about, is comedians usually try to shine the light on issues in the community and make it funny and digestible. And so in this situation, they're doing that, and the production company's kind of saying, hey, say what you will, say what you want, and we got you, you know. And they were almost joking, like, we might be canceled arguing these points as well. But it's basically, they take figures, more so celebrities, and decide should Black America cancel them. The last one I saw was Kanye West, the retrial of Kanye West. And it's pretty funny. They go off on some tangents. You got comedians trying to argue a point while going off on each other, freestyling. And they make some pretty good arguments, or at least it sounds good in theory. But you got to check it out. Cancel Court. It's on YouTube. We'll post a link to one of them just to, so you guys can check it out, because we joke all the time that, hey, who knows, we might be canceled next. But it's very interesting, because when you have a platform, you have to worry about everything you say. And I was telling Razi about, you know, a situation I had at work today where I said something and I think somebody took it the wrong way, and I was like, the last thing on my mind was to offend you. And it seems like it really bothered somebody. So you just never know what you're doing or what you're saying, if somebody can take it the wrong way. And now you're fighting for your livelihood because you were insensitive or whatever, you know, sexist or racist or whatever ist or ism you want to throw in there. So outside of that, let's jump into the show, fellas. We got Sophie.
Yeah, she's here. Hold on.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Sophia Mancarella, coming to the stage. Yay! Hey, Sophie. Yay. You got a joke for us today?
Yeah, we have an amazing joke.
We have an amazing joke.
I think it's pretty good.
And so
it's up to you two to figure that out.
Let's hear it.
What happens when you cross an angry sheep and an angry cow?
Bullsheep. Sheep. Bullsheep.
That would have been a good one, but I can't curse, so that wouldn't work.
Okay. Sheep. Cow. Sheep. Cowlin. I got nothing.
You get two animals in a bad mood.
I never would have got that.
In a bad mood.
That was a good one. That was a good one. That was a good one. Okay. My guess was nowhere near that.
Nah, I was thinking some along.
Okay, I'll see you guys next week. Bye, warm
and beef and
pork, the other white meat, something like that. All right, people, that was a good one. Thank you, Sophie. Welcome back. It's Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast, where when you hear the questions, we hear the questions. So let's go ahead and jump into the show. Who's up first?
It's probably you.
Yeah. Probably not.
I can go. I got mine already teed up. So I was watching a video and a chick was talking about pick Mishas, right? And the whole pick Misha movement. And she was like, if you want to call me a pick Misha, fine. If I want to spoil my guy and if I want to, you know, be his piece and I want to be there for him and do whatever I need to do to make my man happy, if that's what it is, then that's what it is. And so what I wanted to kind of ask you, brothers, is do you think there is a such thing as a pick Misha, and kind of describe what that is and what that would be?
Yes, there's a such thing as a pick Misha. Unfortunately, like everything else in society, it gets overused to where the meaning of it damn near changes. What a pick Misha is like, it's almost like the equivalent to how we use Uncle Tom in a way, almost in a way like that. Like, they would do whatever it takes to agree with a man no matter what, even if it's at the detriment of women. They will support toxic masculinity, and not even like the modern day toxic masculinity, like the old school, the they always knew was toxic, even back in the 60s and stuff. They knew it was toxic, not the new stuff. So yeah, but now it's morphed into this thing to where you see on social media, anytime a woman agrees with a man, you got some women that'll call her a pick me. And I don't think that's what it is or should be. Like, I shouldn't always have to agree with men. I shouldn't always have to agree with black people. You know, but it's not defending things that you know are wrong just for the sake of hopefully this man will like me and think that I'm a good woman and may pick me, which hence pick Misha. In a sense.
Really great pups. Points buff. Damn good question, Rising. Of course there's pick Mishas. I mean, the world's full of everything, right? There's why wouldn't there be? The problem kind of to what you were saying, Buff, is things are overused. And I think it's easy to put people who disagree with maybe the average female point of view as a pick Misha. So there lies my problem, where you want to lump everybody together if a young lady's like, you know what? He has a point. Let me explore it from his point of view. You know, we bring this guy up all the time. One guess who we're going to talk about. Anybody want to guess?
Mr. Kevin.
Kevin Samuels. There are a lot of women who said, you know what? Don't agree with his delivery. Don't agree with everything he said. But the brother makes some good points. I see it. I have friends who are like that. I, too, have been like that. Let me look at this from a different point of view. it's not all about how I view the world. It's about how he views the world as well. Because if we're trying to cohabitate and live in this world together, I have to look at their point of view, just like as a man, I should consider your point of view. You know, if not, then I'm sexist, you know, a chauvinist, you know, all those things. And it's like, no, I just maybe it's just he sees it from a different point of view. And, you know, and guys get mad the same way when it's like, oh, man, you pussy whip, you know, like you always taking up for women.
Simp, you're simp. I think, yeah.
Yeah. OK, that's a yeah. And it's like, no, you know, I think we say it all the time. There's a lot of people probably think that we are simps because a lot of times we'll say, I stand by this 100%. Women have it tough. There's certain things that I would want to deal with when it comes to dating and stuff like that because the world sets it up in a tougher way. And so I have to look at it. Well, I choose to look at it from both points of view and try to understand this person's point of view. But if you don't agree with everything male logic, then I'm a simp. And so simps pick Misha's end up together. And guess what? They usually end up married and happy. It's an adult relationship, people.
Oh, man.
Oh, ask your question. I mean, go Ryzy, because I got a follow-up question.
Yeah, yeah. So I like Buff said, it's been morphed into this thing that for some reason, anytime a woman not just agrees with kind of the male logic, what some guys are saying, but this idea of really catering to your man, you become a pick Misha, right? Like there are these hyper independent women out there right now that if you know, say I'm going to cook for my man every night, or I want when my guy comes home, if he needs me to wash his clothes and change them and make him feel like the man in the house, oh, you're a pick Misha, right? And the thing about it is, if that woman wants to do that, if that's what that woman, and it works for their relationship and they're happy, oh well, right? There are guys that are going to pick her, but I don't know if it's necessarily her saying, ooh, pick me, I'm doing this because of that. Maybe that's her personality and that's how she feels like she wants to cater. That's her love language. Yeah, like acts of service is her thing. And so she's like, I'm going to really do this thing for my guy. And it makes him happy. It makes our relationship stronger. And for some reason, women shit on that. And it's like, oh, she's being a pick Misha because she's going to go out of her way to do all of this. My thing is, if it works for them, it works for them. I don't think there's necessarily a pick Misha. I really feel like it's, like you talked about, it's personalities. It's what you agree with or don't agree with. And there's guys out there that agree with it, and there's guys out there that don't. There's guys that like it, and there's guys that don't. I don't feel like they're being a pick Misha because of that. I really feel like, unless they're doing it and don't really believe it, that's I think when that's when I probably could say, okay, that's a pick Misha.
Or saying it and don't really mean it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's when I'd say, okay, maybe you're a pick Misha. But other than that, I really feel like it's your personality, what you feel, how you want to, you know, express your love language or whatever. And you're looking for the guy who wants that. And I'm sorry that probably more guys want that than your independent. I'm sorry about that. That ain't our problem. That don't make her a pick Misha because guys want what she is given.
Ryzy explained it much better than I did and used a better phase of it. Like what I spoke about mostly the social media commentary, but that is like the perfect example of what a pick Misha is. And it has gotten overused like so many other things, like Black Girl Magic. Go ahead, Ferg.
That's a whole nother conversation. And we have different definitions of that too.
Yeah. I'm just saying. Listen, we believe in black. I'll speak for myself since I said it. I believe in Black Girl Magic. I do. But some of y'all are posting some real regular stuff calling it Black Girl Magic.
Yeah. I love walking black on the beach magic. Being black is not Black Girl Magic.
Hey man, some people have never been to the beach, man. Maybe that's what it is. There's a lot, you know. But no, I'm all about Black Girl Magic. You know, that's why when Woman King came out, like I was screaming that movie from the rooftops. Because to me, that movie and everything it represented was Black Girl Magic. The production, the direct, everything. down to the acting and the way women were portrayed, black girl magic. That's, you know, so that's a little different.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust, and I think a little fear. Really? But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble. With exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
I'm a kind of segue, but I'm a piggyback off your question. So we share a group with one of our listeners, and she's been on the show, one of our friends, Porsche, and she brought up dating and how... When I say dating, I'm talking about the dating process, going out on dates and how much people spend on dates and stuff like that. And it made me think about people's expectations and how people normalize dating. And it seems like she was all about, you know, do something different, think outside the box. You don't have to spend this amount of money and all that stuff, which I hear a lot now is, you know, the $100, $200 dates, like that's kind of the norm. Like it costs money to a lot more money to date today than it did in the past because people's expectations have changed. I don't know if it's because of age or society now, but dating has changed. Would you guys agree?
Yes.
I don't.
Okay.
I mean, go ahead. You want to finish your question?
No, because I feel like you think a little differently. You'll push back. Like, you know, the average guy that maybe one of the young ladies you have been on a date with 2 weeks before, a month before, took her on that $100, $200 date. That was just the norm. That's what I'm saying. I think it's just kind of normalized. This is how you date. And it made me think about how she was saying what she wanted and her expectations in dating. It made me think, like, I think that's probably why you're married. Like, you're not doing the same thing. You're not doing that norm. So the question is, what was different about your spouse when you started dating them that made it different from the people in the past or other situations you've heard of? Like, I'm dating her differently. I act differently. The way she presented herself or the way I presented myself, what was the shift from every other date or the dates you had in the past? So,
okay, I'll go first. I want to talk about why I disagree on that. How much was a stamp 30, 40 years ago? How much was milk 30, 40 years ago? Eggs. Everybody talk about how expensive eggs are today. How much was eggs 20, 30 years ago? Right. So when we talk about a $200 date or a $100 date, that's a $20 date 35 years ago, 40 years ago. That's a, you know, the movies was $5. You can go to the dollar movie back in the day. Now it's $14 for a ticket to the movies, right? So you're just to go to the movies, you're talking about $30 to $40 before you get any snacks. Even if you go sneak them in, you go to Walgreens, grab your snacks and sneak them in, you're talking another $10 to $15. So you're at $50 before you hit the movies, before you think about going out to eat. Like Tara talked about, like, you don't necessarily, she doesn't like going out to eat, right? And so if there's, you're trying to do something different, you're going to spend $100. You're going to spend $100. I spend $45 at McDonald's for me and my kids. So, you know, it's not that the $100 date, $200 date is this expensive date. That's just inflation in the norm of what you're going to spend if you're trying to go out on a date like that. Right. If you're trying to go dinner and a movie or anything like that, that's a simple date, is $100, $200 date. Now, if you do want to do something outside the box, you want to go take a walk in the park, you want to go to a museum that might be free. There's other options to date But if you do want to do just the traditional dinner and a movie, you're talking $100, $200 date. So but I want to throw that out there.
Did you ask, was dating different or was the cost different?
Was dating different? Because I think the expectation, it's the...
Dating is definitely different. I know the cost are different.
Yeah, it's not the $100, $200.
But is it? I mean, the traditional date is that. And that's mostly what people think about with that. Right, I don't think dating's too different, but to your you want to go ahead.
The expectation of the restaurant, like I don't think today women would accept the same restaurant you were going to 20 years.
They would if they were in the same income bracket I was 20 years ago. You go and you find a chick that's living in a regular house, you know, average income, and you take her to an Olive Garden. Everybody likes the Olive Garden, right? You take her to an Olive Garden or an Applebee's or whatever as a normal date. It's not gonna be that bad, right? Bro,
have you seen these kids' proms and stuff now? Like for decades, it was limos or your mother's car. Now it's Turo, where you getting Bentleys and Lamborghinis and Ferraris. The game has changed.
And I think that...
And that includes dating.
I mean...
Like, but... women have a world of people to compare you to versus only the people at their job or at school to compare you to. You know what I mean? Like, the expectations have grown and all of that.
I don't know. I haven't experienced that, and maybe it's the chicks that
You're cheap and you.
Well, not just that I'm cheap, because I'm really not. Like I'll go to those restaurants, but that's just not my thing, right? But I haven't come across, and maybe it's who I'm picking, right? If I see some chick that's on there with, you know, say I'm on a swipe and I see a chick with a Birkin bag and, you know, she doing that look back pose with her leg up and that type of stuff. If I see that, I'm probably not even going to swipe on her, because that is the chick that's expecting this extravagant stuff, right? But if I see the chick that is, I don't know, she's got her dog and they on a hike, or, you know, they out doing something, or she's at an art museum or whatever. I'm a swipe
fair.
On her.
That's fair.
And so she doesn't expect that fancy date. She expects me to take her to the art museum. She expects me to take her hiking or whatever.
But even in your answer, you're saying how dating is different, because you have information just from the swipe on what to do and not.
I can give you that. How I select, how I pick. It's easier for me to pick and choose who.
Because if you just
identify, like, I ain't messing with her. I'm messing with her. So I can see that. Yeah.
Versus me saying, I got a homegirl I think you'll like. You set up, you go on a date, and it's like, you don't know if you're going to the museum. It's like, you're just going to default to XYZ. But, you know, talk about, and for me, it was more so, I think once you get past those, that normal or that routine dating, like, okay, I'm gonna take her, this is my go-to restaurant. This is what I do.
Yeah. I'm gonna take her out for a coffee, and then we're gonna hit a lunch, you know, date, and then we'll maybe do like a full-on date or whatever. I'll tell you the thing, you know, always we joked about me and Jen's first date was Chuck E. Cheese. Right. Yeah. And everybody kind of talks about that, but it was really laid back. Like, it wasn't an official date. It was, hey, I'm gonna take you out, because, you know, we had been talking while I was in Iraq, and so I was like, hey, I just want to take you out, chill out with you, talk to you face to face, because we haven't talked face to face. We've been chatting, Skyping, that type of thing. And I had Haley, because I had just got back. It was the summertime. I ain't had no job to go back to right then. So I had Haley, and I was like, yo, I'm about to take Haley to Chuck E. Cheese. She had a niece that was about Haley's age. And so she was like, well, okay, I'll bring Jayla, and, you know, we'll take the kids and we can sit down and we can chill. And so that's kind of generally how our first date was. It was almost like a family date. And so when you talk about what was kind of different about it, it was that, one, that family dynamic, right? Her thinking about Jayla and like, that was almost like her baby and all of that. So I saw that instantly, like, that, okay, she can be a good mom. She's a provider. She's a parent, but not a parent, right? She's cool auntie, but at the same time, she has that motherly instinct about herself. All of that, just from that one first interaction. But then we got there and we had a whole lot of fun. It wasn't, you know, this, and again, with me and her, we had chatted so much, we knew each other. So we had got past the tell me about yourself, what do you do, and all that. We had got that out of the way before. And that's why, another reason why I kind of like the swipe, because you get a little bit of that out of the way. So when your first date is happening, it's not what do you do for work, what do you do to it. It really is just kind of, let's talk about the world, let's talk about what's going on with you, this, that, and the other. So that's really what makes the difference, I think, is y'all can really connect. And like our conversation we had last week about, you know, will I date a chick from Burger King? It's like that. It's like, if I can have that conversation, have that fun with you, if I can enjoy you, yeah, I got to be able to look at you and be like, man, she's so sexy, I want to smash. That gets me to look. That doesn't get me past that. And so that conversation, that enjoyment, that fun, our second date was to a sushi spot. So it was just like, oh, she likes sushi, she's adventurous, she's this, she's that, right? So and so every date was just building on, like, I was enjoying spending time with her. And between that, because she was, you know, we always joke about her being a homeless bum, she was a homeless bum, and I was out of work, just getting back, broken from war, like, all the time that we got to just spend and be together. Like watching shows, people talk about, oh, I'm not going out, I'm not gonna Netflix flicks and chill with him, I'm not going to your house or whatever. That is prime time to be able to just sit down and really know if you like this person or not. That guy shouldn't have to spend $100-$200 every time y'all link up and every time y'all meet. It should be able to just, you know, y'all should be able to just kind of sit on the couch and watch Next Level Chef or Next Top Model or whatever the thing is on the TV and talk about it and laugh about it. And because that's when you know that, okay, that's the one I want, right? It doesn't have to be I'm spending money on you every time we talk and every time we link up. That's the problem, I think, with a lot of these folks, is they start anticipating that's what our relationship's going to look like. And especially you see a lot of times when you start having kids, all that changes. And so now y'all don't know how to be with each other, because every time y'all really kind of were together, you were either at work or whatever. So when we get together, we going out, we going on these expensive like trips or to these vacation spots, or we hitting the club and all of this. You can't do that once you start having kids. And so now all y'all got is y'all, and y'all going out on these date nights once a month. And that ain't working for y'all no more. And so you end up kind of breaking up just because y'all never actually got together and were able to just kind of spend time with each other and be together. So long-winded, but yeah, I mean, it was kind points. Of a perfect storm with us.
Yeah. Buff, what you got to add?
So was it a two-part question, or was it just, is dating different?
You know, is dating different, and like, what was it about Tab that made you like, let's look at her differently than any women I saw out there? Even though you got married young, it was still like, you're attracted to young men. Women were coming, you know, shooting a shot, and it's like, nah, buddy, there's something different about this one.
First off, I could listen to Razio talk about him and Jen like all day, man.
The fact that he still calls her a homeless bum.
Yeah, well, just all of it, man. Just all of it, because there's still a lot I don't know. Like during their date, when they, I think, you know, you guys obviously were still close, but by me being up him here and him being down there, it's a lot I didn't know. I knew of her and stuff like that. But so anytime he talks about it, I listen just to get more information. But for me, my question, my answer is kind of, it may be kind of boring for the listeners because, you know, Tab and I have been together so long, but I'll say this, you know, I never felt like I was like a very popular person or like even the best looking or most attractive. So when I saw her and, you know, I thought, you know, we have what we call tiers in school. You know how it is. You know, you got the upper echelon of girls, you got the mid-level, and then you got the, not for me. I felt like Tabitha was top shelf. And so to find out that she had interest in me, because she shot her shot, let me put that out there. She shot her shot with me first. Okay, she approached me. So that was like a big deal to me. I felt like I was punching above my weight class with her. And then on top of that, to learn how loyal she was just like the icing on the cake. And so we would just like sit up on the phone. You know how you, when you're young, you sit up on the phone and just fall asleep and, you know, deny that you fell asleep. I ain't fall asleep.
You sleep? Nah, I ain't sleep. I'm sleepy, but I ain't sleep.
What I just said. And you said, all right, man, I guess I was asleep. You know what I mean? So, like, we would just sit up on the phone planning our future. Like, we literally said if we have a girl, this is way back when, like, in the 10th grade, if we have a girl, we'd name her Jasmine. You know what I mean? She had a different name, but we agreed on Jasmine. So
you bullied her?
No. She thought it was better or whatever. Hers was Zatiera. She wanted the name
Jasmine. Jasmine is a good name.
Did Jasmine ever weigh in on that? Hey, if we called you Zatiera, what would you think?
No, I need to tell her that.
You need to tell her that.
She is interested in our early days, Jasmine. She likes to hear those stories, though. So that's it, man. It wasn't like a whole lot. Like, we started off so young, and just as time progressed, and we experienced, like, all of our firsts for the most part together too. So we got to see each other grow and see each other handle, you know, adult shit, you know, as it happened in real time. So all of that just showed me the type of person. Like, each step, it just confirmed
that's
that
not
I made the right choice.
That's not boring at all, though. That's fairy tale type, right? Like, you know, I don't even know who I was dating when you and Tab met. And guess what? It matters not. Raz, who were you dating in 1995? 96.
I cannot remember. I
have no idea.
No. Allison multiple. In 96, though.
Not 90s. Probably 97. Close.
It was 96. It was spring of 96.
We pledged fall 96.
Yeah, I thought it was like 11th grade.
See? You didn't start talking to Allison until after that. That's just neither way there.
Yeah, maybe it was that fall. Like, fall 97?
No, 97.
Yeah, 97. Fall 97. Okay,
you know. But no, bro, I'll say this about you, Buff. Just from the outside looking in, there's a reason we call Tab Auntie, right? Like, just being around there from the day one, the way she carried herself.
So serious.
But she knew who she was, or she was proud of who she was, or at least that's the image she gave off. And you had to respect that for somebody so young, and to see everything else we were seeing, because you didn't see a lot of women carry themselves with so much confidence. And it wasn't just like, I look good confidence. She just seemed like she was very self-aware. And she demanded respect. Like, she demanded respect from the guys and whatever, and all that stuff. And I'm like, mess this one up.
And she was so kind of serious, but she could laugh and enjoy the moment and everything. And I don't know about y'all, but I loved to hear Tab laugh. Because if Tab was laughing, that means everybody's having a good
fun.
We having a good old time.
You have met the stamp of approval. If it's going on, if Tab's having fun and you're not having fun, you might as well just leave. There's no more fun to be had. Like, if Tab having fun and you ain't having fun, dog, why are you here? Leave. But no, that was it. So that's a good one. For me, with Z, our first date was just a regular date. You know, we met at the frat house talking, and we had a very interesting conversation, and she made it past all the Ferg BS. She passed the smell test and all this stuff. And like you said, Rizzy, the cute made me look, and so that's why I pursued her. But it's just the way she carried herself, and she had this energy. Like, I couldn't put my finger on it. It was just like this, from the moment I met her, even the look in her eyes, like, she just had this, like, this spark, right? And she just became this breath of fresh air. So our first date was cool. And I want to say it was either our second or third date, but she planned it. And I've never really had anybody kind of, and I wasn't a date. She, you know, Z is into art, and she was telling me about this art exhibit at the Tallahassee Museum of Art, and it was the Kinsey family. It's this family. They were FAMU graduates. They moved to California. They worked really hard and started their own art, retired early and started their own black art collection, went around the world collecting black art and photographing black art. And so I'm like, hell, I'll bite. And we just sit there and watched, and just to see her just love art, and, you know, like, she's just so free, you know. But then it led to a conversation, and one of many conversations about life and how we perceive life. And, you know, me, I always go against the grain. I'll probably overthink things. And just hearing the Kinsey story where they worked in California, and what they did is they took one person's income, lived off of that, and they saved and invested the other person's income. And that allowed them to retire early and travel the world. They had this game plan. I'm like, that's so dope, you know? And like, man, I need to be with somebody like that. And that was kind of, we started having that conversation. It's like, I'm with that. I want to do that. I'm like, man, I've never really heard a woman just say that. You know, she's willing to work. She wants to work. We want to do this together so we can retire early and have this plan and travel. Like, this is dope. And it just led to so many different conversations that I never had before. And every time we had
so far, you're saying she wasn't independent? She didn't have an independent mentality? What? And that's what got you?
Hey, man. She, I mean, once again, she's probably a pick me, you know? I married a pick me, I guess, to a lot of people. Because things I brought up, she's like, she never considered. Like, she's never considered. She grew up, you know, hearing all the cliche things, happy, happy wife, happy life. And what I challenged that in late 2008, early 2009 is like, that's stupid. Would you be with somebody knowing that the whole relationship was based off of one person's happiness? I mean, because that's what happy wife, happy life comes off to me. It's like, what about me? Like, don't I deserve to be happy? Would you spend the rest of your life knowing that it's all about my happiness? And when I asked her that, she's like, no, that makes no sense. Like, that's not a way to live. And so that's when we heard the happy spouse, happy house. And I'm like, okay. And we just started talking about things and conversations that I've never had. And she brought up things and made me want to change, be better. And you know, and I just started thinking, but we just had a conversations. One of the best things about being married to my wife is, to this day, we have the dopest conversations. There's never been a situation where her and I have nothing to talk about. Like, we always find something. And that was different about her. And for me, you know, I was kind of, I'm a talker, but I didn't talk to my girlfriends about like serious stuff. And my, you know, it was, you know, high level, you know, whatever the case may be. And we started talking about a future together. And when we started painting that future, I'm like, I want that future. And not only I want that future, I want it with her. But yeah, what are the chances of that happening? But hey, I'm willing to do this. And she was the first person that made me get out of my shell of not just getting the superficial fur. She got all of me. And then she just started doing things for me that I didn't do for myself. Like, made me start thinking and taking care of myself more and more. And I'm like, I gotta get this one. And the rest is history, man. Best thing that ever happened to me, hands down.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Good question, man.
All right.
I still feel like I put my foot in my mouth and I gotta apologize. For the listeners out there, especially on Inspire You On Air, the new beat of the Bay, you guys may not have ever heard of the story of Jen and being a homeless bum. She was not a homeless bum. That's a term of endearment. It's a joke. She was just getting out of college, home for the summer. She was sleeping on her sister's couch. And it was summer break. So as a student, she had no job, wasn't doing anything. She was sleeping on the couch. So I joked with her about her being a homeless bum, but she was not a homeless bum. I just want to throw that out there.
And just for the record, she didn't find it funny.
She did not. She
find
did
it
not.
Funny then. I got you, baby. She doesn't find it funny now, Rizzy. He had a whole apology on air that he had to go back and do that he still messed up and had to go back and redo his apology. Because my best friend has no common sense.
Apologize for the apology.
Do we got time for another one, or we're good, fellas?
Well, so I'm gonna take it away from dating, and let you brothers know a statistic that 43% of Americans believe that there will be a civil war in the next decade. I want to know if you are a part of that 43%. Or are you in the 57% that says, it's bad, but it ain't gonna get that bad?
Oh, it's tough. Initially, I want to say no. The only reason I say no is because I don't think people care enough. Like, they get pissed off, but they don't care enough. Because the Civil War would have to... We can call it civil war, but it'll be a race war. Let's call it what it is. It's gonna be, you're talking about a race war, right? Is that what we're talking about? Because that's the only way. Like, they don't, what other topic is polarizing enough? Abortion rights? It's not gonna start a war.
I would just say probably the left and the right, the far right and the far left.
They're not gonna fight each other over what?
States' rights for states' rights.
To do what?
To not teach African American AP.
Who does that affect? They can't have the niggers anymore, so that's off the table. What else is big enough on the right and the left that's going to cause enough friction for them to go to war? January 6th wasn't enough. You know, it's... I don't think there's anything, as long as the majority still look at each other as brothers and sisters. You know, there's no one issue that big outside of, you know, if it's not a race war, I don't see it.
I don't see it. I think even at a race war, I don't think there's enough. There may be an uprising, but I don't think it'll be a civil war. There may be a January 6th insurrection. It may be even larger than that.
Oh yeah, that's gonna happen. That's gonna happen.
Those things will happen. I don't think it will be. I don't think it'll ever reach critical mass to be considered a civil war. You know, it may be a city thing. It may be even a statewide or a strip. You know, across multiple states. But I don't think your cities would succumb to it, and I definitely don't think there's enough in the rural communities to be able to come into those cities and do much. So I think from a power balance structure, I think we're so kind of balanced, and your cooler heads are so weighted on this one side that I don't think it'll ever get to the point where it'll be a civil war. But I do think it may be kind of a large insurrection. I don't think January 6th was the last time that they're going to rise up. And Ferg, to your point, I do think it's going to be about race. It'll be veiled, right? It'll be just like January 6th was what happened, right? Trump leaned so much into dog whistles and political gamesmanship, but it really kind of came down to racism and xenophobia. And that's really what caused January 6th, right? They liked what they heard. They wanted more of it. And he was willing to give it to them, or they thought that he was willing to give it to them. That's really what caused most of it.
Yeah, it's only two ways it can happen. And you're right. It's never going to be a full out war. The most likely option, and I hate to call it the way it is the right wing is going to get pissed off or feel underappreciated or not heard or whatever, and make a move. They're going to do something, whether it's they're going to march on something on Juneteenth, you know, if there's a re-election and Biden gets back in or something like that, or Biden dies in office and they want to have this random election to get Trump or DeSantis in office. Like, it's going to be something like that where they're going to feel like we need to make a move. We need to change. And it's going to be little small pockets and it's going to pick up. But like you said, cooler heads will prevail. And it's never serious enough, because at the end of the day, they're going to go back to being the majority. We didn't get the president we wanted, but we're still going to get white. As long as white privilege exists, I'm going to say it. There's not an issue big enough that's going to start any of that. The other option is a small race insurgence, or something's going to happen where it's going to be a protest, aka riot, in some major city. National Guard is going to come there, or something's going to happen, and it's going to get the freak out of hand, and it's going to piss black people off across the nation. The way it gets handled, and it's going to be small uprisings and all this stuff. But as long as people like you and I and other people, all of our listeners, have good jobs and have kids that they're trying to get through college and stuff like that, we're not going to risk it all until they force our hand. They're going to have to make us like, I'm giving you niggas to Saturday to fight, or it's all off. Like, as long as we can go back to our daily life in a week or two, nothing's really going to ever happen.
I think there's a chance. If I feel like 45 is just the beginning, and you know, we always think something is the worst until
it gets
something
worse.
Yeah, something gets more worse. And I think he was the beginning. And what I disagree with, though, is it happening within 10 years. That I don't think it'll be that soon. But if there's a young, up-and-coming, you know, politically interested young person that idolizes 45 and, you know, feels like he didn't go far enough, and they rise to power and actually push, like, 45 kind of did a lot of suggesting, kind of like, you know what I mean? But they like just blatantly say, it's time to take this country back and put it in the direction we want it to go. I think it can happen. The difficulty is, unlike our last Civil War, it won't be by states. So like, even in these red states, like Texas is a red state, but Texas also has Houston and Dallas. And Georgia is...
Those big cities,
Georgia,
that I was talking about. Yeah.
And Georgia is not even really a red state at the moment. But even if it was, you still got Atlanta and Savannah and some of those things. So it's like such huge urban pockets, even in these red states, that I don't know how you're going to... Like, even if we decide to separate, like how they did with the North and South, how will we separate this time?
Yeah, because your neighbor is your enemy.
Exactly. Like, are the liberals going to move to, you know what I mean? So I think that, you know, if I'm going to be in the 57% that says it's not going to happen, it'll be because of that, like logistically.
Yeah.
Because how are they going to make that happen?
But that's usually, I mean, when you talk about civil wars, that's a lot of times what happens. You know, you get where those rural communities, they come together, they actually coalesce, and they take a city, right? And they force people out. And so then you have political refugees, the people walking miles, hundreds of miles, thousands of miles, you know, the interstates are packed with cars trying to go north or trying to go south or trying to get out because they've taken that city. That's usually how it works. So it may be that it won't start off like that, but you will see this natural movement of people going to wherever they align. And eventually, a year or two, you might see a full on, you know, front line or a red line of, hey, here's the south, here's the north, here's the east west, however it ends up being aligned.
I can see it can happen. Rural versus urban civil war. But what issue? Like, because at the end of the day, I don't think...
That's the other part. I don't think it'll be an issue. I think it'll be a person, because 45 doesn't really have an issue. It's just that they were following him, that person. And I think it'll be the person that they rise up for to like either say, hey, I think this person should stay in power beyond 2-4 year terms. You know what I mean?
So going from a democracy to a dictatorship, but essentially it's almost like a political system. Like we want to move to a different political system.
So right. that's the, okay. I can bite on that. Because I'm like, there's no political issue. Yeah. You know, states' rights, at the end of the day, the rich are going to be the rich, the poor are going to be the poor. You know, how big has that impacted the average person's daily life that they are aware of? You know, we get bent out of shape about stuff because we hear it, but, you know, you don't know. If you don't turn on Fox News or CNN or, you know, your bank account doesn't really get affected, you don't know what's going on in the world.
Right.
But you being a pro-Trump supporter or a pro-whoever, and they're telling you about to take your... You're about to take your God. You know, it's going to be...
Yeah, I can see that. And, you know, it escalates because as soon as that happens, and they're like, oh, well, they're coming to take your guns, because we probably are coming to take your guns because you align to that area, you know. And so at that point, once we get into martial law, they may come and take your guns. So then you get into that escalation of everything. So, yeah, okay. it can happen.
Okay.
But I agree, not in 10 years, nowhere in 10 years.
Nah.
DeSantis can't do it?
Not charismatic enough. I don't think.
I don't know. People didn't think Hitler was charismatic enough.
That is true.
Touche.
And Americans dumb enough is a question.
you really asking that?
That's the real question. You know, and that's why I said the topics. I don't think what's going to spark that, you know, but I think it could be the leader rather than, you know, it's going to get, I don't know. Hopefully the next generation can kind of quell some of this and make us realize how dumb we and prior generations were, and like, y'all need to get over this and make moves. So with that being said, brothers, let's go ahead and close it out.
So I got quite a bit, man. One, Ferg, I want to big you up real quick, man, for two things, because we've been gone for a minute until last week. You asked a question a couple episodes ago that involved going back home and how to deal with loss. Man, maybe Rizzy can back me up on this. That might be the most feedback we've gotten on like one question in like the show's, at least the show's recent history.
Yeah.
I don't know about all time history, but got a lot of feedback, man. People really enjoy hearing us be vulnerable and open up. So just want to give you props on that question. And also, you inspire me, you know, the stuff you do with your lamp lighters and stuff. I made like I know it's taboo to do New Year's resolutions, but my 2023 was to try and volunteer more. And so I volunteered last week for my first time. It's not the kind of volunteering I really want to do. I want to do something more deep, more urban, but it still just got me out the door and just, you know, sacrifice my time to something else other than playing solitaire on my phone or watching Netflix. So,
good for you, bro.
Yeah, I appreciate you doing that. Last but not least, I was watching National Geographic a few weeks ago. And there is this plowshare tortoise. And I just want to tell Nat Geo to do better, because they're showing this plowshare tortoise, which is like any other tortoise down there. But this one has like a horn like under his neck. He uses it to fight and stuff like that, right? So they're playing like this happy music. And it's like, oh, it's the plowshare tortoise. And he notices that a female tortoise is in heat. And they're going to mate. So they're playing this happy music, and they even say that the female tortoise doesn't want him. Like, she doesn't want him. She doesn't want him. She's in heat, but she doesn't want him. He uses his horn to flip her over so that she can't move and he can take it. And they're talking about she was playing hard to get. I'm like, hard? You mean rape? He took the tortoise pussy. Bro, Nat Geo, what you doing? That's rape. Do better. I'm gonna send y'all the link. I'm gonna send y'all the video.
I don't know if I want to watch. I don't know if I want to watch tortoise right.
Because when you turn a tortoise on its side, they can't do anything. They can't except do anything. Get raped. He took it, dog. He took it. So Nat Geo, do better. Don't play happy. If you're gonna show that, play some dark music. Like when Bane showed up on Dark Knight Rises or something. Like,
oh, God. It need
to be do better, man. Do better.
I don't know if we're gonna get canceled over that. That might be it right there. That might be it. That's our one.
Because we sit there laughing at it.
Oh, no, man. Means no, I guess. Chill, no. Oh, God. Rizzy, what you got for us, bro?
Oh. I don't know how to follow that up, man.
I don't know, man.
So, I just two things real quick. For all those folks that, you know, live in Birmingham, all the listeners that live in Birmingham or were here, you know, went to college here, lived in Birmingham and moved away, RIP to Sticks and Hoover. That was a go-to for a lot of people. I mean, that was one of those fancy dates everybody talk about. You know, the hibachi is a big-time thing. Sticks and Hoover has been a staple here for years and years and years, and all of a sudden, yesterday, they just shut down. Nobody knows why. Me and my kids were there 2 weeks ago, and they were packed out, so it wasn't business. We have no idea. It's a murder mystery or something. We got to figure this out, but... yeah, they just put a sign up and it's like, unfortunately, we closed. Y'all can go and check us out in Fultondale if y'all want to go to Sticks. But yeah, so it's a mystery, but RIP to them, man.
Hibachi ain't nothing but fancy Waffle House. I'm done.
or Waffle House is hood hibachi.
I think Waffle House is there first.
Yeah, maybe.
Think about it.
Yeah, that's true. But finally, last and most importantly, I wanted to shout out Haley once again. I don't know if you guys saw, but she has entered into her professional cheerleading career. She is a cheerleader for the Birmingham Stallions. That's our USFL team here. And so, you know, she had kind of her first event 2 days ago. And kind of been killing it, but you know, I'm just proud of her. You know, we had that conversation about who she wants to be and everything like that, and what she wants to do long term. So I'm just happy for her for following her dream, wanting to do it, and going for it. And you know, she made it over a lot of other girls that tried out. She said at one point there was like 70, 80 girls at the audition on one day, and they had 4 days worth of trials. So
that's awesome.
You know. Yeah, one of I think eight that made the team. So kudos to her. Great job, Haley. Keep at it.
Congrats to my step god, baby.
Congratulations.
We got to tell listeners about that story. How she became your step god daughter.
That's all your fault. But mine is really it's quick and it's following back up on something we talked about a few episodes ago. Checking on your quote unquote strong friends. So for the listeners and that may or may not know and the brothers know, like the last few weeks, last few months, I've been kind of going through it, you know. That's a whole nother story. But I've had several people reach out to me. Not, I don't know if they knew what I was going through or whatever, but I'm just reminding you that it helps and it means a lot, you know. And for the people who did call and check on me, knowing or unknowingly, thank you. And it's just a reminder to challenge you guys to reach out to your family, your friends, check on people, because you just never know what they're going through. And it means a lot. It might brighten up their day. So to the people that called me recently, thank you. Appreciate it. With that being said, Three Brothers No Sense, your favorite barbershop style podcast, Six Rules of Podcast. Listen, like, share, subscribe, comment. And most importantly, listen again. Talk to you next week.